You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. Yeah. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my Siege jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the Siege, that's the best way. Melly.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Whatever it is that you're doing, wherever it is that you're going, I very much appreciate that you take this show along with you. Really, it's amazing that you do. I love it. It's awesome. If you're on your way to work, it's Friday. Happy Friday. Like, you did it. You made it. That's awesome. Good for you. If you're working a Monday through Friday shift, if you're not, I'm sorry. I'm just going to assume that most people are. Whatever. But maybe you're at the gym. Maybe you're at work and you're killing time. Whatever it is, I'm happy that you're doing it. I'm John Corrales. I cover this Boston Celtics squad for MassLive.com. And today, we're celebrating a 108-87 win over the Charlotte Hornets. The Boston Celtics are now 6-1 and currently the best team in the NBA. How about that? I don't know how long it's going to last, but we can say it while it's true. The Boston Celtics at 6-1 have the best record in the NBA. Boom. Enjoy it. Soak it up. Might not be the same. Might not be the case after they play the San Antonio Spurs on Saturday, but who knows? This game was a nice, slow burn towards a blowout, which was nice to see. The Celtics, obviously, every team's going to make a run, but the Celtics kind of kept chugging along. Different guys stepped up at different times. And then in the third quarter, just boop, blowout. Thank you very much. You guys don't have enough talent. You guys aren't good enough. Celtics are. That's how it's supposed to go. That's exactly how this game is supposed to go. This type of game is pretty much what people expect when good team plays a bad team. And the Celtics are a good team. Charlotte, not a good team. They're a bad team. They're better than some people think. And they are now 4-4, so they're not the worst team in the NBA, but they're not going to be very good. They're going to be a lottery pick team. Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum were the two stars of this game. So let's just get through some of the stats here. Obviously, this was about Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker was back in Charlotte. He hugged everybody in the damn building. It was a great moment before the game. They get the video tribute as they introduce him. They introduced four Celtics. Then they played the video and introduced him. That's a great way to do it. It's an awesome kind of get it over with moment. I like that better, actually, than playing it during the first time out. Kind of interrupts the flow of the game. I like doing it that way. I think that should be the standard for how tribute videos are done. You introduce the guys, he comes back, you play the tribute video. Obviously, it's not the same if the guy's not a starter, so you got to do it a different way. But also, in rare cases, I would say most of the tribute videos should be for starters. But whatever, I'm sure we can come up with different scenarios. I like the way they did it. And that was basically the last highlight for Kemba Walker, because he had 14 points. He did have 6 assists. That's kind of like an exaggeration, but he was off. He was shot 4 of 12. He did hit 3 of 9 from 3, so not horrible from 3, but not great. 3 of 3 from the line. So, but like I said, the 6 assists were great, and it was like the best one, I think. Like, really, at the end of the third quarter, I think it was, when he had an opportunity. This is a chance for him now. He's starting to cook. He had 11 points in the third quarter. And he had, or was it the second quarter? Whatever it is, he had an opportunity to take that shot, and he didn't. He passed up a three, and he gave up. He gave it up to Jason Tatum, who hit a wide open three, and that moment right there, like, that's something. I don't want to read too much into it, but at the same time, that's like these little flashpoints in games that try to kind of show you things that it's very easy to overreact. And this may sound like an overreaction, but in that moment, Kemba Walker at home, he's got an open shot. He can take that shot. No one would blame him for taking that shot. He gives it up to Jason Tatum, and Tatum hits the shot. Even if Tatum had missed, him passing that ball in that moment kind of felt somewhat important to me. Like, he's just not focused on himself. He's not focused on, hey, here's my chance to drill a shot, to hit a buzzer beater, to have this moment in front of the crowd where if he had hit that, he could turn to the crowd and kind of like soak it in. He didn't care about that. Gave it up to Tatum. So that was my favorite, from a Celtics perspective, favorite kind of assist. It wasn't flashy or anything like that. It was just what it meant in that particular moment that was important to me. Gordon Hayward came out in the first quarter and was just brilliant. He hit 6 of 8 shots, 1 of 2 from 3, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 14 points in the first quarter alone. He finished with 20 on the night, so he didn't do a ton after that. They didn't need him to do a ton after that, but it was just that first quarter was just more of Gordon Hayward being awesome. And the cuts were great. The passing was on point. The change of speed when he got to the rim, everything was just back, just like he did in Cleveland. And then after that, it was Jason Tatum's turn. Jason Tatum finished the game with 23 points. He did a lot of that damage in the second and the third quarters. He had 9 points in the second quarter. He had another 9 in the third quarter. So he had 18 of his 23 points in those two quarters. Jaylen Brown had 8 in the second quarter. So he and Tatum in a sloppy, like the second quarter was the shitty quarter. And that, surprisingly enough, right? Like, but has that been like their Achilles heel forever? But that was, they combined there for 17 points of the Celtics 22 in the second quarter. When Charlotte was making a little bit of a run, then in the third quarter, everything fell apart for Charlotte. But Tatum, 23 points, 9 rebounds on the night. Did I give you the whole line for Hayward? 20 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Nice night for him. Kemba, like I said, was off. He had 14 points, 6 assists. Jaylen Brown, 12 points, 5 rebounds in 32 minutes. Really, if you want the best stat, Jaylen Brown came back, played 32 minutes. He was the team's leading scorer. I mean, leading minutes guy with 32 minutes. Everyone else less than 30 minutes. That's my favorite stat of the night. Everyone, Kemba took the fourth quarter off. That's huge going into an early game on Saturday. The second half numbers, 12 minutes for Hayward, 12 minutes for Tatum, 13 for Brown, 12 for Walker. No Gordon Hayward, no Kemba Walker in the fourth quarter. You got minutes from Brad Wanamaker, Javonte Green. Javonte Green had 10 points in the fourth quarter. Vincent Poirier got some time. This was garbage time. Although Marcus Smart played 7 minutes in that fourth quarter. I'll talk more about Marcus Smart in a minute and his whole thing with Brad. But for the most part, this was, you know, statistically, this is exactly how you want it to go. Most guys don't play a lot of minutes. You got Jaylen Brown a couple extra minutes because he's working his way back from that infection. It was nice to see him. Cantor didn't play. I got to assume, like, I keep assuming he's going to play. I don't know. For whatever reason, he's not playing. It feels like he should be playing, but the doctors are not. They say he's not 100%. So whatever. We'll see if he plays against the Spurs. And so that's it. That's kind of like the rundown of how things went. Again, first quarter, big Boston coming out and playing well and take a 10-point lead. Charlotte cuts into that in the second quarter, which was sloppy. Third quarter, Celtics go on their run and really, you know, put it to the Charlotte Hornets. Terry Rozier was just bad in this game. I sat here thinking like Terry Rozier might try for a revenge game, and he didn't. He took 11 shots for a guy that played, that's a starter. You know, 11 shots, not so bad. He didn't try to go crazy, but he just was not. He was maybe pressing a little bit, but I don't see anything from Rozier that makes me think like, aha, there goes Tito, you know, like that, like, oh, that old Terry. I told you I was wrong about that, that we didn't get that Terry Rozier kind of go crazy, try to get revenge. If anything, he might have gotten revenge by keeping some of the guys out late the night before. Like, that's his revenge on the Celtics. But in general, I thought this was a pretty good game from the Celtics. 29 assists on the 40 made baskets. That's pretty damn good. 20, you know, you get up close to that magical 30 assist number, you know things are popping. So the Celtics did a great job with that. They forced 20 turnovers. That's the magic number. If you can get the 20 turnovers on your opponent, that's pretty good. So the Celtics hitting some of those benchmarks. They did pretty well defensively, obviously. The Charlotte Hornets shot 38%, so 38.5%, 19% from three. So the Celtics defense doing its job, and also aided by the fact that the Charlotte Hornets are not very good. Up next, why this game, maybe more than any game so far this season, makes me think that this is the complete opposite team of last year. Now, if I could have put a couple of bucks on Terry Rozier's over-under on shots, I would have hammered the over. I don't think it would have mattered, whatever it was. That would not have gone well for me since he only took 11 shots, but I would have been able to do it on mybookie.ag. This is a great time of year for sports fans. College and pro basketball are here. Football's in full swing. Hockey, all sorts of things that you can bet on, and you can do it with mybookie.ag. If you want to bet a little, you can bet a little. You want to bet a lot, you can bet a lot. It's all up to you. You can try a parlay. You can bet a bunch of the favorites, put them all together, and try to win a bunch of money with a little bit down on a parlay, because that's how parlays work. You put a little bit down, you bet a bunch of games, you get a bigger payout. However you want to do it, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. You can use your basketball knowledge to prove that you have what it takes. Again, college basketball in full swing now. You can start to see who are the big names, who are the big games, and you can throw a little bit of money on it at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. It's like winning a bet without placing one. Go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate this offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA, all one word, to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
One thing I noticed in this game was a lot of opportunities passed up that weren't necessarily passed up last season. And there were opportunities to force shots. Now, one play stands out to me. It was in the second quarter, I believe, where Jaylen Brown drives baseline, kind of backs a guy down, does an up and under type of thing, kind of sort of gets himself a little bit of space, but instead of forcing it, he kicked it out to Jason Tatum, and Tatum hits a three. Now, that's a play that I for sure don't think that Jaylen makes last year. I definitely don't think that he makes that play at any other point in his career. So first of all, it shows growth on his part. But second of all, he's not the only one that passed up an opportunity to force a shot. And what stands out is that this team, in this game, it felt like there were a lot more opportunities, but this season, they haven't been taking those opportunities to force shots. I mean, they do sometimes because in every game, somebody's going to force a shot at some point. That just happens. You get caught up in a moment or you're feeling it and you want to, it's like a heat check. I mean, it's going to happen at some point. But last year, it happened so much. And this game, even though it was a blowout, it felt like a game that instead of winning it by 21 points last year, they might have blown this lead or never built a lead like this to begin with. Because I think the difference between this year's team and last year's team that I saw in these types of plays is that I see two things. One, these guys trust each other. That you can give the ball up and you're not sacrificing your touches. You're not giving it up and saying, oh, I'm never going to get this back. You trust your teammates. Anybody who's been a regular listener, how many times last year did I say, these guys need to trust each other? You need to be able to give the ball up without feeling like you've now passed up your only chance to score. That's where the trust is. I mean, I was so tired of saying it last year. They never built that trust. Never. This team seems to trust each other, and everybody seems to benefit. The Celtics have three guys that are averaging 20 points a game. Like, the opportunities are there, and Jaylen Brown is a couple of good games away from being a fourth. Like, that's something you can now hang your hat on and trust each other. So by giving the ball up, Jaylen knows that Tatum is going to make the right play and that Gordon Hayward's going to make the right play. He had 14 points in the first quarter, and did he force it after that? No. He scored 6 points the rest of the way and was fine doing it because then he started passing. And if everybody on the team is making the right play, then you know that you can give the ball up and you'll get it back if you do the right thing. When you give the ball up, are you just standing there? What are you doing? No, everybody makes the right play. Ball will find the right person. So this year, this stuff is what I was telling those guys to do last year, and they just never did it. The second thing is that there aren't as many guys that are taking these scoring opportunities. So it's also, that feeds into the trust because it's also easy when you're one of those four guys, Tatum, Hayward, Walker, Brown. When you're one of those four guys, you know that you're the scorers, okay? Marcus Smart's going to score from time to time. Like, that's it. That's all you're going to. Tice is going to hit a couple of shots. Grant might, you know, get a couple of cuts, whatever. Carson might hit a few threes. But who else is scoring on this team? Marcus Smart's not a scorer. He'll take the threes and maybe one day he gets hot and he'll drop 25, but that he's not going to average more than, what, 15? 15's high. 12? I mean, that's what Marcus Smart's going to be. So Tatum, Hayward, Walker, Brown, those are your four scorers. So those guys are going to get their opportunities. That kind of makes it easier to give the ball up. Last year, on top of that, so instead of Walker, you had Kyrie. But, you know, you still had Mook in there trying to get opportunities. You had other guys that were taking those chances. And ISO guys, Terry Rozier, when he was in there, was taking shots. And you just kind of felt like if everybody, the two more guys taking shots on top of a guy like Kyrie, who's very ISO heavy, that's tough. That's tough. So that makes it harder to trust your teammates because most of these guys are focused on taking shots. So this year's team is the opposite. I really think there's some sort of cosmic thing here going on because that Charlotte game, the last time they were in Charlotte, was the absolute example of the worst of last year's Boston Celtics. And now this year's game in Charlotte, the very next time they visit Charlotte in a regular season game, the opposite happens. I really do believe that by trusting each other, by being free, playing free, making the right plays, these guys were able to build a lead when they might not have in the past. So they were able to keep the lead as well, where last year they might have blown it. And those guys referenced that after the game too. Like that's not lost on these guys. It's a long season, and there are going to be other opportunities to react to the differences between these two teams. And I don't want to always frame everything in terms of how things were last year, but this stood out. This stood out. I felt like that was important. I felt the connection between that last loss last year, the one where Kemba went nuts and Kyrie was saying, why don't we double him, to this year, Kemba not going nuts and letting his teammates shine in a game that was supposed to be all about him. He didn't even care about making it all about him. And all the other guys just saying, all right, fine, cool. We're gonna do what we do and share the ball and spread the wealth. And great things happen. So I think that connection is something that's real. After the break, there is a connection between Brad Stevens and Marcus Smart. Brad Stevens says, I love him and trust him. But it wasn't born out of something positive. I'll talk about that when we come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. So Marcus Smart did not have a good game. His head didn't seem to be there. I feel like when Terry Rozier said he kicked it with some of the guys last night, that Marcus Smart might have been one of those guys, and he played like he was a guy that might have gone out. I don't know if he went out. I don't know. But he sure as hell played like a guy who was out late the night before. So whatever. That's if he did, then so be it. It didn't cost the team. If he didn't, then like I said, he played like a guy who did. Whatever it was, he didn't have a great game. But part of that was a couple of quick fouls, his fourth and fifth foul, like in rapid succession. And it included a dust up there, get tangled up with somebody. And he kept his cool, but when he went to the bench after his fifth foul, you could see him clapping at the coaches. Like, he was very animated. And after the game, he said that he feels like he's not being treated the same way as other players. He feels like he's not getting the same calls that other players do when he's on offense. And what he was upset about was that he felt like Brad and the coaches weren't sticking up for him. They weren't as animated about him not getting the calls as he was. So Marcus Smart was obviously animated and upset. Brad Stevens after the game said that's the type of thing that you love about Marcus. This is the direct quote. This is the part about Marcus that I love. His fire, his competitiveness. If there's a moment where he's upset with us, that's all part of it. We move on pretty quickly. We've been together a long time. I've been yelled at before, and that's okay. I love him and I trust him. Now, you don't want to see a player and a coach get into it, and they didn't get into it. You had that moment where Marcus kind of clapped at the coaches, and that's not great. He did apologize later. He went back, smoothed it out. You can file that under shit happens, because there's no more loyal player and no more team-oriented player than Marcus. But he has these games from time to time where he doesn't feel like he's getting the calls. Last year it was against Philly when he shoved Joel Embiid. And he got a big fine. He didn't get suspended. What's funny is it was before the Charlotte game. And I remember being in Charlotte talking to him directly about it. And he had the same type of quote. If they're not going to protect me, I'm going to protect myself. And, that type of stuff. And he said the same thing then, and he says the same thing now. Happened to be in Charlotte. It's kind of weird that it was like that. But I get it from Marcus's perspective. I also think that Marcus is probably, you know, a little emotional. Let his emotions get the best of him. And in that moment, he snapped. The good part about it is, in past years, when he has moments like this and he snaps, it becomes a bad thing. Like him charging somebody and starting a fight. This time, he kind of held back and had multiple opportunities, and he didn't take them to escalate anything, which is good, which means there's no talk about suspensions or fines. Although, let me backtrack on that. He's going to get fined for what he said about the officials. I mean, that probably triggered like an automatic thing. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the fine, if it wasn't midnight, that fine would already be levied. It's going to be one of the first things the NBA does in the morning. Like, you just, for the way he said that, criticizing the officials, he's going to get, I don't know, $25,000 or something. And he said, if I lose a little bit of money, I lose a little bit of money. That's how it goes. I got to protect myself. So I'm not going to make a big thing of him and Brad having that moment. I've gone off on bosses before. If any of my former bosses listen to this podcast, they will attest. You don't like something that's happening. I am also similarly emotional, not quite as Marcus Smart level, but I've had my emotional outbursts and I've expressed my displeasure with certain things to people who outrank me, and have done so in no uncertain terms. So if you're in a situation where you feel comfortable doing that, I guess that's good. And as long as afterwards you come back and be like, okay, I lost it a little bit there. Here's the point I was trying to make. I apologize for making it poorly, but here's why I said what I said. And then everybody moves on, and that's it. It's like, if everybody's got respect for one another, you can do that and move on. If you don't have respect for one another, if somebody's sensitive or feels like that it goes beyond, as long as you don't go out of bounds with something, then you're fine. So I think Marcus Smart's going to get dinged by the league for the criticizing of officials, and that's going to be where this ends. But it's a storyline for now, and that's that. Celtics now move on to San Antonio. That's an early game. I believe it starts at 5 o'clock on Saturday. So that's going to be a tough test. Obviously the Spurs are always good, and they are good at a lot of things. Like, the Celtics defense is geared towards not giving up threes and protecting the rim. And the Spurs are good at taking those mid-range shots. So I'm going to be very curious to see how they handle a team that's going to be happy taking all the stuff that they're happy to give up. In the meantime, how will San Antonio defend this team? Can Gordon Hayward keep this up? What's Kemba going to do? Is he going to be able to bounce back? They're a very, very good defensive team, and with some very good individual defenders that will do well against the Celtics wings. So that's going to be a game where I think the Celtics are going to need Enes Kanter if they're hoping to win that game. That's going to help them out a lot. They're going to need somebody down low that's going to be able to score, and especially off the bench. So benches might win that game on Saturday. We're going to do a podcast. I'm going to do a podcast for Monday. We're a Monday through Friday podcast, so there'll be no podcast directly after that game. The podcast will be recorded on the next day and dropped that night, Sunday night, like we always do. We always record. I always record the night before, late on Sunday through Thursday, so you can have a fresh podcast for you Monday through Friday. It's free. It's daily. And if you're a new subscriber, if you're a new listener, please become a subscriber. If you're listening on Twitter or somewhere else, go ahead and subscribe. Whatever device, whatever app you use, it's even on Spotify. If you use Spotify, if it's Google or iTunes, it exists everywhere. So search for Locked On Celtics. All of you regular subscribers, very much appreciate your loyalty over the years. Hope you're enjoying the show. Hope you enjoyed enough to give us that 5-star rating and a good written review. And of course, sharing the podcast is big. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.